Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Malcolm Balk, an Alexander Technique teacher in Montreal, Quebec. He also teaches at Plattsburgh State University in New York State. He's been a teacher for over 25 years, and for about 20 years now, he's been teaching the Art of Running workshop, which he developed some time ago, and has been teaching that to runners around the world. He's the co-author of Master the Art of Running, as well as Master the Art of Working Out. We just did an earlier conversation where we talked about how the Alexander technique can be useful for runners in general. And in this conversation, Malcolm's going to talk a little bit about some of the schools of running and how Alexander technique ideas fit in with them and their very existence, perhaps. And Malcolm, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And I wonder if you could, again, just give a very short definition, description of the Alexander technique.
Absolutely, yeah. The Alexander technique is a method which helps people unlearn old habits which aren't working for them so that they can do or perform any activity with more awareness, more freedom, and more enjoyment.
Okay. And in between our conversations, you talked about these, there are a number of schools of running, and which I didn't really know about, not being a runner myself. How do the principles of the Alexander technique relate to those schools, or what would you say about all of that?
Yeah, what's happened in the last, let's say 15 years, and on the big scene, there are a number of schools that have developed, which teach running more as a skill that can be developed and improved, a bit like your golf swing or your piano technique, which is, I think, been a really good thing. It's contributed to the fact that running is now becoming more popular than ever. Well, since the 70s, at least, when the first running boom, occurred. Mm-hmm. And the schools sometimes seem to, there's some similarities and some, areas which seem to be a little bit different. I'm thinking of the two big schools these days that have, really good marketing machines behind them, pose running and chi running. There's also one that's sort of less marketed called evolution running, which I think has a great deal to offer and seems to be, anyway, those are the three that I know of. And then there's what I teach, which is, I don't even consider it a school. It's called a kind of a work in progress. And it's influenced heavily by the fact that I'm an Alexander teacher and I've received the training that goes along with that. And, I've also been a student of running since I've started, and I've actually got a level 4 middle distance coaching qualification from the Canadian running whatever it is fraternity here, which is a fairly high. It's one below Olympic level as far as coaching goes. So I know a little bit about the mainstream ideas of around running. So these schools have evolved, and I think their main benefit of these schools is the fact that they've made runners become more conscious of their form, and actually provide a methodology to achieve and improve form, which is terrific, because before these schools came along, it was more just a question of run straight, turn left, repeat 8 times, and try to do it a little bit faster the next time, with some lip service paid to how you were doing it. If you were a marathon runner, very little work on technique was done, generally speaking. If you're a sprinter, quite a lot more. Now, with these new schools out there, people are thinking about where they're landing on their foot, and using gravity better, and what part of the leg you want to engage to move the body, to move your body forward, and what part you don't want to engage. And I think sometimes it's got a little bit technical. I think it's got a little bit culty, so that if you're a chi runner, oh boy, those pose people, oh, they're a little bit too, vicious with the way that they approach things, and the pose people think, oh, the chi people, they're a bunch of wimps, or this or that, and you get to these sort of schools or these, the kind of conflict between schools, which we've enjoyed in the Alexander world from time to time as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what gets lost in there is that running is really meant to be something that's there to be enjoyed. Depending on what level you come into it, whether you're just somebody who's out there to run to be a little bit fitter, or if you're actually a more competitive person and you're actually trying to achieve some particular personal goal, or if you're right at the top of the food chain, if you like, you're trying to make the Olympic team, or maybe perhaps even make a living at running. So on all levels, there's generally speaking, there is room for improvement. And I've worked with people at all those levels, from beginners to Olympians. And there wasn't one person I've worked with who couldn't, in fact, improve a little bit the way they were running. And where the Alexander technique comes into it is, I remember one chap I worked with who finished fourth in the 800 in the Olympics, so a pretty good level. And he, received lots of coaching over the years, but nobody had ever told him that waving his head back and forth on the finishing straight was going to make, or maybe they had, but he'd never managed to understand how to control his head, was going to make a big difference in terms of how well he ran, how well he finished the race. We've got Paula Radcliffe, who's also got a problem. This woman is a goddess, but everybody knows, watch how she moves her head and everything like that. It's, you wonder, okay, is that working for her or against her? And so there are certain things, almost pre-tech, the Alexander technique, I would almost call it a pre-technique technique. It's almost like what you need to know to learn something else.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Yeah.
So no matter what school you kind of jump into, whether it's the chi school or the pose school or the evolution school, or or you even work. Well, I think my approach is a little bit different, because I emphasize a lot that pre-thinking, that initial coordination, which is going to be the foundation of any kind of technical development you're going to make as a runner. This same pre-technique could be applied equally well to tennis, or to playing the cello, or to learning to cook in your kitchen,
or it's to anything, really.
It's the basic basic ability to coordinate ourselves in an efficient and effective way, so that we don't cause unnecessary strain, unnecessary tension. We respect the body's natural design. We're not trying to impose something artificial on it, but we're trying to help it do what it's designed to do, and not what habit has actually, led us to from years, let's say, of sitting slumped at a computer, or the bad habits we all develop living in the West.
So I would think, this is probably a very naive question, because I am not a runner myself, but I would think that whatever school of running you have, if you've already chosen one to work with, as it were, what you'd learn from the Alexander technique would certainly enable you to do it better than you're currently doing, very likely, because it would address these kind of basic underlying, I guess we could call them, coordination questions that are really come into play even before a particular technique is used.
Absolutely.
And I would also think that if you haven't sort of settled on a school for yourself, some lessons in the Alexander technique would help you judge the effectiveness of what a particular school is showing you in a way that you might not be able to do without that Alexander work ahead of time, and maybe help you choose the right technical approach, if that's the right word, to running that's right for you. Does that make sense as well? Or because I'm
enormous
not a runner.
Enormous sense. So there are some Well, at least one school out there that tries to teach some people about posture. And what they do is they have you tucking your, you know, your pelvis under and pulling in your chin. And it's really old school. It's, you know, what the physiotherapists were talking about in the 50s, you know, and it doesn't, you know, it maybe fixes things from the outside, but it doesn't free you up, and it actually can cause problems. And I think if you'd had Alexander lessons and people started telling you that you need to pull your chin in or tuck your pelvis under, you'd be in a position to understand why that's not a particularly good thing to add on to your running. And
right. It puts you in a better position.
Yes,
to
absolutely.
Judge what. Yeah. I mean, I can only relate in terms of a different sport, swimming. I like to swim, and I've taken swimming lessons from time to time. And having had an Alexander background enables me to almost reinterpret what a swimming teacher says, because they're using terminology and a way of thinking, a way of describing things that I actually could just sort of translate a little bit using Alexander technique and be able to learn the technique I was working on, whether it was the crawl or whatever, in a way that I don't think I could if I were just following the words by themselves of the instructor. So
exactly.
I assume there might be something analogous in running that the technique would put
yes,
you
well,
in a
when
good
I,
position.
Exactly. When I went and learned one of the methods that I mentioned before and actually became a qualified teacher in it, there were some people there who had been trying to kind of master this. They were on their third or their fourth workshop. And I'm not saying that I was particularly great at it in the, in the initial workshop that I took. But when I actually went over and put hands on one of the women who was struggling to kind of get grasp the idea and actually got them to lengthen their spines a little bit and get the head to lead, all of a sudden they could do the drill that they hadn't been able to do successfully for three previous workshops. And it's not because I, you know, have the magic hands or anything. It's that when the Alexander technique is worked well so that the head leads and the body follows, everything else knows, you know, has a way of finding its place and its level of contribution to the overall picture in the most coordinated way possible. And that makes life much easier when it comes to learning things. And, we all have our particular levels of talent and potential. But within that, I feel that the Alexander technique will allow anybody who wants to improve their running to it increases your chances of achieving your potential.
And not being injured, too.
Not being injured. And not you kind of get out of the way and allow that deep part of us that knows how to learn. It gives it a chance to actually learn without a lot of interference. And anybody who's tried to learn, I don't know, how to improve their back end and finds the harder they try, the less they learn, knows what I'm talking about here. Learning involves getting out of the way and allowing something to happen as opposed to necessarily trying harder, which, as Alexander said, only emphasizes what we know, which basically means our bad habits.
Exactly,
you know?
So yeah. That might be a good place to end this talk. What do you think?
Absolutely. There's more that I would like to talk about just in terms of running technique in a more specific sense, but maybe we could leave that for another conversation.
Absolutely. And if any of what we've been talking about makes sense to you or intrigues you, if you're in Montreal, Malcolm teaches there, and we'll put a link to his website next to the interview. You might want to get hold of one of the two books he's co-authored, Master the Art of Running and Master the Art of Working Out, and there'll be ways to get that from his website. Also, he does teach Art of Running workshops around the world, and maybe you could be somewhere where he's doing one of those. And finally, if these ideas intrigue you, you might want to just find an Alexander teacher in your area who can show you some of these basic ideas. The teacher certainly doesn't need to know a lot about running per se, but the teacher can show you some basic ways of organizing yourself that'll allow you to run or walk or chop vegetables or do whatever you do more easily, more efficiently, and with less chance of injury. So why don't we leave it with that. Malcolm, thank you so much for being on the show today.